If you walk down Krog Street in Atlanta, Georgia, you might pass a store named Tiny's. It's a red door in a white frame, an open sign in the window. But the thing is, you can't go in Tiny's. The door doesn't even open.
I'm not trying to tell you what's behind it. In fact, I'm trying to do the opposite. I'm trying to create a blank canvas for your imagination.
And that's because Tiny's, it's not just that the door's closed. It's also actually really, really tiny. The door is just 7 inches tall. And it's the first of 26 little tiny doors that are now spread throughout Atlanta.
Kids will come up to me when I'm on the Beltline and they'll be like, why doesn't it open? And I'm like, you know what? I feel you. I get it. But close your eyes and imagine what's behind the tiny door. They'll close their eyes and they'll think about it. And I'll go, now, if I opened this right now, what could be cooler than what you're imagining? What's better than that?
It's a bakery filled with itty bitty Cheerio sized donuts, or a barber shop, or really whatever you want it to be. Because that is the whole point. I'm Dylan Thuris, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous places. And today, we are going to Atlanta, Georgia, where an artist will show us that a whole lot of wonder can fit behind a few tiny doors. That's after this. And inside is the last VHS video shop in all of the world. And you go up to the counter. And the clerk working there with his hair sweeping down in front of his face barely acknowledges your presence, checks you out, and then tells you that you should probably rent Ghoulies because it's actually really good. And so you do. You take it back home to your teeny tiny house. And you watch it on your teeny tiny VCR, and you stay up too late, and it's the best night of your life. All right, that's enough. I don't know. That's fun. If you're looking for a place where the wide open skies and the towering mountains inspire you to find an untapped part of yourself, you might want to take a trip to Wyoming. It's a place where bold, curious spirits forge their own way on all types of adventures. There is no shortage of iconic, expansive landscapes out there. You can discover breathtaking hikes, stunning state parks, authentic Western culture, and other historic sites, along with the tales of famous outlaws like Butch Cassidy and pioneers like Buffalo Bill Cody. The truth lies west. Discover yours at travelwyoming.com. In 2013, Karen Anderson Singer had just graduated from art school and moved to Atlanta. And when she got there, she really gravitated towards something called the Krog Street Tunnel. It's this kind of famous tunnel in Atlanta that is surrounded by tons of incredible graffiti and really fantastic murals.
And I thought, how can I bring my own art into that conversation without imposing it? I've always been a sculptor in my heart. And I thought, what if I just tried this idea?
The idea was to build a teeny tiny door on one side of the tunnel, the tiny storefront. It had these little steps that led up to the front door, this little bench off to one side. And it was all so small that it made the weeds next to it look like big overgrown bushes. Drawn above that, there was a tiny cyclops popping out of the roof, and little bugs were drawn over the building. It was all really colorful and really detailed. It was delightful.
So my whole idea was make it something that when you see it, even an hour after it went in, you go, how long has that been there? So it doesn't look fresh and shiny and new and like it doesn't belong. It looks like something that could have been there forever.
Karen's deep and abiding love of miniatures dates all the way back to her childhood.
I threw away all my dollhouse furniture, gave it away when I was a kid, and made all of it myself out of clay. And I really enjoyed just using primary colors and mixing my own colors. Like, I was really into the process more than the result. And I feel like that kind of translates. Maybe I'm still that kind of kid. I don't know.
But unlike the dollhouse furniture that Karen used to make, these little doors have to live outside, which means they have to stand up to the elements, the rain, to Georgia's heat and humidity.
I create them out of wood, out of clay, out of all kinds of things that I have around, and then have them molded and cast in a special resin composite, then paint them and install them. So what you're looking at on the street is a resin replica of an original sculpture rather than a painting.
After Karen made that very first tiny door in the Krog Street Tunnel, she felt good, but didn't actually think too much more about it. But one day, she passed it on her way to work.
And there were a bunch of tiny plastic cats all facing the door, like they were waiting for someone to come out and give them food. And then slowly the cats started disappearing, like people were taking them one by one. And around Halloween, I saw tiny jack-o'-lanterns appear in front of it. And then one day, our local newspaper is called the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. One day, I was on my way to work and I saw a little piece of paper. I stopped and got out and picked it up, and it was a tiny version of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about the tiny door.
Karen didn't know who was leaving all these little gifts, but it was exciting.
Clearly, these are my people. I had no idea that there were so many people who, you know, were so into this idea and were down to just try to experiment with the fun, with the joy of it.
A few months later, Karen built her second door. And this one was more personal. It's on Atlanta's Freedom Parkway, which is a pretty high traffic area. And there, Karen installed a little pink door with pieces of mirror surrounding it. And surrounding that was a rainbow.
So as a queer artist, you know, as someone who has dealt with discrimination, dealt with different, you know, like the rainbow has meaning to me. It's culturally something that I find to be significant. And so when I put the rainbow there, it was originally for Atlanta Pride, and I felt great about putting it there.
Just like our first door, door number two got an almost immediate response. But with this one, not all of it was positive.
You know, I've had to scrub it and repaint it dozens of times. And that has made that door more than just a rainbow door. It's an act of resilience. You know, it's like, I'm going to keep this rainbow here. We're okay. We as a people, we as Atlanta, like, we're okay. The rainbow can come back. It's not a sad story. No matter how much I love the other pieces, you know, that'll always be special to me.
After her first two doors, people and companies started coming to Karen, asking her to build tiny doors for them. Today, there are doors all over the city of Atlanta. There's a blue door in the Georgia Aquarium that looks like a submarine hatch surrounded by colorful coral. There's a pale pink double door at the Atlantic Botanical Garden, each one with a brass handle and embossed flowers. And my personal favorite is a shoulder-height blue door surrounded by a mural of swirling piano keys, the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. Each door is special. Each door is intricate. Some take as many as 55 hours to create. But Karen thinks a big part of their appeal is actually the fact that they don't open.
We all have this understanding that there's something behind a door. You know, doors are a means to somewhere else. And so a door is a really great way to create an access point to your imagination.
Remember those little cats outside the first door and the mini Atlanta Journal-Constitution? Well, that happens with the other doors, too.
Every single door collects items. It is the coolest thing. I have a collection of items. I typically don't take them when I find them. I'll take them if they've been there for a week or if it's about to rain or, you know, whatever. But I have a drawer of stuff. There are hundreds and hundreds of items over the years. Sometimes people will take it upon themselves and just be like, I'm going to make a welcome mat for every tiny door in the city. And then they'll spend the day going and putting them out.
There are now 26 doors, all tucked within different nooks and crannies all across the city of Atlanta. There is the tiny Stages Theater door, which looks like the entrance to the world's smallest movie theater. There is the Grant Park tree door, which is embedded into the tree at the bottom of this incredible park. There's a tiny little vote sign in front of it like your neighbors would put up. There is the incredibly cool Center for Puppetry Arts door, which has its own kind of cast concrete staircase, and then it goes up to these really plush pink, like retro modern doors. It looks like the whole thing was designed in 1987, maximal hipness. Every door is its own tiny entrance to its own tiny world.
I want them all to be special and somewhere that, you know, you would trust to go and that you would want to bring your family. And that might be way off the beaten path. You know, it doesn't have to be an arena. You know, it can be a small park on another side of the city. But there'll be a reason that I send you there. There'll be a reason that you want to visit that location to see something like cool and unexpected and free for you to visit.
So if you're in the Atlanta area, you can either go to the website tinydoorsatl.com, or you can look up the Instagram page to find all the locations of the tiny doors. They are all wheelchair accessible and can be reached pretty easily using Atlanta's public transit. Go have a look at a tiny door. Just don't try and go in. You're not going to fit. This episode was produced by
Baudelaire Seuss.
Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Witness Docs. The production team includes
Doug Baldinger,
Chris Naka,
Camille Stanley,
Willis Ryder Arnold,
Sarah Wyman,
Manolo Morales,
Gianna Palmer,
Tracy Samuelson,
John Delore.
Our technical director is
Casey Holford.
And this episode was sound designed by
Luce Fleming,
Chris Naka.
If you want to learn more, be sure to visit atlasobscura.com. There's a link in our episode description. And our theme and end credit music is by Sam Tindall. I'm Dylan Thuris, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I will see you next time.
Witness Docs from Stitcher.
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Women Who Travel is a transported podcast for anyone curious about the world. We talk to adventurers and athletes.
I've raced the God's Own Adventure Race, which is on the South Island and goes through the mountains down in the Southern Alps on New Zealand. That was 8 days spent out in the wilderness.
And chefs.
Iranian food is home, it's family, it's love.
And we share dispatches from our listeners.
Ireland is full of these, I will call them ghosts of the past.
From stampeding elephants to training sled dogs. We hear it all.
The dogs will curl right up with you, and it can be kind of cozy waiting things out.
New episodes of Women Who Travel publish every Thursday. Join us wherever you listen.